We're gonna try this and see what transpires. A bunch of different styles to fill our desires. It's gonna be super fun and full of wit. Robert Bacon is the host and he's full of it. We're gonna try it. After we like it, maybe we'll try it again. Maybe not though.
Welcome to Try This Podcast, a podcast where every week we try a new theme, style, and or topic. I'm Robert Bacon. This week, my guest is Brian Finley. Brian is a fantastic performer, and we met during a show called Red, White, and Blaine, where we did the play from the movie Waiting for Guffman. Super fun show, had a great time. His idea was to review an episode of The Golden Girls. Now, I'm sure some of you know these kinds of podcasts. One of my favorites is Signcast, where each podcast, they review one episode of the show Seinfeld. And we did that, but with The Golden Girls. We go through step by step through the episode, so you don't even need to have seen it recently or at all. As long as you know who The Golden Girls are, I think you'll enjoy this episode. Because to be honest, this episode that we watched for the podcast is probably the first full episode I've seen in 15 years. So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoy The Golden Boys Podcast. Thank you for tuning into the Golden Guys podcast, a, you know, formal podcast where we review an episode of The Golden Girls each and every week. I'm here as always, Brian Finley, along with
Robert Bacon, you guys. Oh man, we've gotten so far. We're almost done. Season 7.
I know. I can't believe we've gotten this far. And you know what? I feel like I could start over. And we could just go back to episode 1 right after we get done.
I feel like we would get things that we missed the first time, even though we severely analyze every episode.
No, you're right. And, you know, we've gotten such great feedback, which we're going to talk about at the end of this. Because
Thank you, everybody, for sending in stuff.
The insights some of you out there have made is what keeps us going.
And the aggressiveness on, like, when we make a mistake. I feel like that's the thing that makes The Golden Girls great, is when the fans... When we make a mistake, the fans let us know. So speaking of that, let's just jump right into this episode.
Okay.
You guys, season 7, episode 2, The Case of the Libertine Bell. A classic episode. I think it's on a lot of top 10 lists.
Yeah, I looked at this. I know that one of the dedicated fans out there, Walter...
Walter Clydes?
Walter Clydes. He actually ranked this as number 2 all-time.
Wow.
And what's amazing about this is we're in season 7. You know, most shows are hitting their peak around season 3, but this is season 7, and it's just an incredible episode.
This premiered on... my 8th birthday on September 28th, 1991.
Whoa.
It's my 8th birthday.
That's, I mean, happy birthday to you.
If only
you had watched the show when you were actually 8,
yeah,
probably would have been your best birthday among all birthdays.
Yeah. The synopsis of this episode is the girls participate in a murder mystery weekend, and Dorothy has a ball when she solves a mystery. However, when Blanche is accused of committing a real murder... Dorothy will have to use all her keen detective skills to find the real murderer. That's the whole episode.
But it's heavy.
It is.
I mean, 22 minutes and all that happens?
Yeah. Ooh. Okay, so the episode starts, classic shot of the house, the establishing shot of the house with some music. We go right to the kitchen, classic set right there. Rose is cooking. Dorothy is sitting at a table when Sophia walks in, and Dorothy asks how she slept. And Sophia says, "Pretty good. I dreamt I was making love to Jay Leno." And then Dorothy says, "That's a strange dream for you to have." And Sophia says, "Not really. It was a Monday night, and he was filling in for Carson."
Yep.
Right away, the very first lines of dialogue.
Timely, for sure.
A fantastic joke.
It is. It's these girls, they are golden, and they are just incredible. And, you know, I mean, just going back to this, it was, It was interesting to think Jay Leno, I mean, I know it's Sophia Petrillo who's talking about him, but to ever think of Jay Leno as having been a sex symbol, that people would have made this reference. 25.
I don't ever think that he was ever a sex symbol. Maybe Johnny Carson was?
No, but I think there must have been people out there when he started taking over. Oh, I don't think he was a sex symbol per se, but I think people started to think like, oh, this Jay Leno is, you know, he's hot stuff.
Anyway, they get in. That just sets up a way for them to sit down. Blanche walks in and talks about a date that she has. Classic Blanche. She had sex with him. Whatnot, standard Blanche stuff. She then informs the group that they're all going to a murder mystery because she was in charge of signing up the museum that she works at for an outing. Blanche really wants to go this to go well because it would give her a shot of becoming the assistant to the director of the museum. Mm-hmm. So basically, this is the whole setup of the whole thing and has stakes to it. Yeah.
Can I tell you what I love about this is when she's talking about how she's planning this whole event, the great part is she's like, oh, and there's three open spots that I need to fill. like it wasn't, you know, obvious that these are the three people she was going to be taking as well.
At the end of it, it's just like, okay, cool. So we set it up that this is the premise for the thing. How are we going to get the whole cast there?
Yeah.
Is basically what the writer said.
You know, and I feel, but it's the Golden Girls, and they're always thinking of a genius way to put it together. I feel they could have just said, girls, this weekend we've got this murder mystery.
They could have. That could have been the lazy thing to do.
Yeah, but these writers, they didn't stop.
But they got it in there. Also, at that part is my favorite joke of the whole episode. So Blanche says she needs three more to get the hotel group rate. And actually, we'll just play this clip for you.
There's just one hitch. I need three more people to get the group rate at the hotel.
I thought hotels always gave you the group rate.
Yes, sweetheart, but this is for the whole night.
It was tops for that whole scene.
It's a classic Golden Girls joke because even the setup is a joke, and then the punchline is even a bigger joke.
That's true, but they've got Innocent Rose there to just keep it going.
Oh, Rose.
Pretty key in any episode. She's probably my favorite part.
In this episode, she plays, it's hard to say, dumber than usual. Because she's always just dumb.
No, and you'll see this in various shows as they go on, that the characters who are sort of the dumb ones get dumber as time goes on. You'll see it in Screech on Saved by the Bell, Joey on Friends, like it just feeds on itself.
Kramer in Seinfeld just becomes more and more Kramer-esque. He doesn't become more dumb, but he just becomes like, every character becomes more of a caricature of themselves. Mm-hmm. And we're in season 7, the final season, correct?
Yeah.
And it's so obviously we're just like, all right, we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
So then we have to, Dorothy really wants to go, cause she's super into murder mystery. So they all decide to go. We fade into the girls all dressed up at the murder mystery. Dorothy is acting like an expert on everything, giving everybody tips, telling everybody what to look out for. She tells Rose to, like, you know, walk around, figure out who's actors and who's not actors.
This was, I think, my favorite part.
Yeah.
Actually. Rose goes up to someone and says, oh, I'm having coffee. Like, the person says, I'm having coffee.
Yeah, the simplest of things.
Rose just goes, actor. The way she delivers it, I think, just really topped it off.
And she's right in the context of the show. That person was playing an actor, not somebody who worked at the museum.
It's true. See? Rose, not a dummy.
Also, small plot hole. Everyone who's there works at the museum. Anybody who doesn't work for the museum and who is there is probably an actor.
That's true. I was thinking about that. And also, I found it crazy that, you know, the main guy who works at the museum turns out to also be an actor.
Hey, spoilers.
I'm sorry for those of
you. We're going to get to it.
I know.
So Dorothy is acting like an expert, blah, blah, blah. The director of the museum comes over and talks with Blanche. So we get to meet him. We get to see who he is. That's just the big setup. Blanche is upset because then he goes to sit with Posey McGillin.
Yeah.
And that's her main rival for the job.
Really, you know, Blanche makes it a whole, they're both sexually interested in this man. I don't really think this woman was any competition compared to Blanche.
Well, Blanche is a beautiful, beautiful woman, and this, I don't want to, I'm sorry for saying this. No. I feel bad about saying this about the other actress, but she just doesn't hold a candle to Blanche.
No, and she may not be alive anymore. There's a good chance.
I know, that's the thing about this podcast. I don't like looking up IMDb because a lot of times there's a lot of ending dates on those names, you guys.
A lot of times you're like, oh, I love that actor who played Rose's boyfriend in this episode, and you go look it up, and
he's been dead for
a
while.
You can't see him in anything else.
No.
And that's tough.
So this is just a way to set up, you know, the rival thing. Also, that's also thrown, it's all kind of shoehorned in this part where Rose is upset at Blanche for taking her earrings without asking.
Yeah.
That's really shoehorned in there.
It really is. I think it's the one little part they could do without. You know, I actually didn't love the joke that came out of that too.
Yeah. What they used it for. Also, I just don't think it's in Rose's character to be upset about Blanche taking her earrings.
No.
Do you think?
It's not at all. I mean, those four women have lived together for so long. Earring sharing is, you know, that's a daily occurrence there.
I know we're two dudes, but I'm pretty sure I know ladies enough that you guys share earrings, you guys share tops, pants. Basically, anything that girls wear, they share, correct?
I think so. You
Do
know.
You share anything?
I
don't share anything.
No, I don't, actually.
Because guys don't share stuff.
We don't. It's a totally different thing.
That's weird.
Thing.
Would I'd be like, I like that shirt. Can I borrow that? Can I wear your shirt out tonight?
Yeah. And I would think that's a little weird because I wouldn't know what I would wear since I'm over here. But let's say I was your roommate, you know, you still wouldn't do that.
No. Also because I think guys' clothes are also similar. They would be like, hey, can I take that gingham shirt that you're wearing? Because I just happen to have the exact same shirt anyway.
True.
Anyway, we also get a great joke from this one where Blanche is upset. Actually, you know what? Let's just play this clip for you.
Kendall is sitting down with Posey McGlynn. She is my main rival for that assistant's job. Oh, look at the shameless way she's flirting with him. Disgusting. You flirted with him? I'm from the South. Flirting is part of my heritage. What do you mean?
Her mother was a slut, too.
That's great.
Yes, and as a kid, I think I was, you know, a little scared of Dorothy Spornak, but
she's scary.
Yes, she is, but she is the heart of the show to some
degree.
She's
fantastic.
Like, there's just something she does, something she brings to it that just makes it a little funnier.
Then they start the murder mystery. An 88-year-old man is married to a 22-year-old girl. The lights go out. They both die. A detective comes in and starts explaining things. Then everyone starts guessing who kills who. And then, of course, because this has been set up, Dorothy stands up.
Hold on.
What?
Hold on. You are forgetting my favorite thing.
Oh, what?
Where Rose comes up with what she believes are the reasons, and the cop or investigator right away is like, St. Olaf. Like, I think that is one of the greatest parts of the episode,
That's
too.
A running joke in the whole episode is she says something and somebody else points it out. That's fantastic writing.
I mean, it's enjoyable because, you know, and we've watched all the episodes. They haven't done this yet.
No.
And this is perfect.
This is just great writing. A great runner thrown into a show. And it shows that they're not being lazy. Dorothy stands up and starts explaining things, and she's super smart, and she's able to solve the murder. But during when she's solving the murder, we get the explanation. We get this great visual of Dorothy behind Sophia with a knife to her neck. Yes. And Sophia with the big bulging eyes. You know what I'm talking about? I love that visual.
I love how Dorothy says, like, you know, patricide is not common for daughters, but matricide certainly is, and it's hilarious. And that relationship between those two, it has been mimicked in countless other shows, that it's just, I love that dynamic between Dorothy and Sophia. Dorothy's huge, you know, height-wise. Sophia's this little woman. She thinks Dorothy's a loser.
Yeah.
But
I don't know why she thinks she's a loser, but she does.
It often reminds me of Mona and Angela on Who's the Boss? I don't know if I don't know if you watched it much.
Nope.
Oh, well, it's very much the same. They're a mother-daughter relationship and very similar.
Well, anyway, Dorothy does a fantastic job of explaining the whole thing. And if this was the end of the murder mystery, I would be pretty upset if I was at this murder mystery.
Oh, I would be very upset.
I didn't even get to eat my entree, my appetizer.
No, and I'm like, why are you having this in the whole hotel if it's just this? But, I'm going a little ahead, but I do want to say this, mm-hmm. is that if I was, you know, paying for this murder mystery or mm-hmm. attending, and I wasn't one of the four people, like Blanche, Rose, Sophia, or Dorothy, and all these actions, the murders are happening in another room that I'm not involved in, I'm like, what? I mean, didn't I pay good money to go to this murder exactly. mystery weekend too?
Exactly. Everyone paid a lot of money, and only Dorothy gets to talk. So the murder mystery is over. Blanche says that the director needs to speak with her alone. So she's trying to get Rose to agree not to stay in her room. I think we've kind of had that, like, I don't know if you've ever been to, like, a wedding and you're staying in a hotel room with a buddy, and then at the wedding you find somebody that you might hook up with. So then you guys, everyone kind of has this, like, agreement of, like, hey, I'm going to be in the hotel. I'm like, you have to sleep somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Has this happened to you?
Oh, countless times in the past.
Yeah.
Back in my single days, yes.
Yeah? All the time? I think it's only happened to me like once.
I'm not going to say all the time. Not at all. But hey, these situations occur.
I wouldn't put it past you. You seem like the guy that would.
Quite slick.
You seem very slick to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd go back.
But it was great. I mean, and that's what's so great about this show is that it's four old women who are fighting over this. This is not what you think of your grandmother.
No.
And
it breaks barriers.
It does.
And it connects. I connected with this scene. I'm like, oh, I could see this, you know? I could see myself in this situation.
You know, people, I've often heard it said that the Golden Girls were actually four gay men living together.
Probably.
For real. But that... Yeah. You know, the network, you know, when the person then pitched the show as four old women, then it was able to be done. You know?
Yeah. Because at the time, that was acceptable. Now, I don't think the show would get on TV, but if you put four gay men in there, now I think it'd be on
TV. That's right.
Crossfade from that to Blanche's room, and she's answering the door in a nightgown. She's super happy because I thought they sexed. I thought her and the director had sex.
And Blanche is always, I don't know if you've noticed this, she's always wearing something real flowy. Like, every scene, even in that opening when that song's playing, she's walking down the hall and she's like just got things flowing down.
She just moves like a ghost around all the time. Like, it's just a flowing thing. The room service is delivering champagne when they discover that the director has been stabbed in the chest. Perfectly in the middle of the chest, by the way.
Yeah.
It's shocking, right?
Yeah, I mean, no.
No?
Well, when you were watching it, did you really think the man died?
No.
No. I don't think they were fooling anybody.
I think maybe...
Do you think audiences thought this at the time it played?
Well, it fades to a break right after this. It fades to the commercial break. And I think the way that they position it, like, maybe... I don't know if we're just... so desensitized to it now, but it feels like maybe then, you know, back in the day, an audience in 1991 would be like, ooh, death.
It is, I mean, it's somewhat interesting. I mean, there is some continuity between each episode in the later seasons, but it is very much where, on this show, where each episode, it's almost like the previous episode never even happened, and that we are just starting over with their lives once again.
And that's kind of how sitcoms were back then.
Yeah, yeah.
So that way you didn't have to see, you can jump into a show midway through its run and pick up on everything. So we get back from the break. Dorothy holds a mirror under the director's nose to make sure that he's dead. The hotel security comes up and tells them that no one can leave. And Blanche is the main suspect.
Wow.
We crossfade to another room. I assume that it's the original hotel room, which is a giant hotel room. We get another great line. Why don't we just go ahead and play that for you?
They put me in prison. I'll be brave. I can handle it. Blanche, you don't understand. They'll put you in a women's prison. Don't let me go, Dottie. Don't let me go.
And I love that because, like, Rose is an idiot, but you know what? She still gets what's going on.
Yeah, she does. It was a good line. I I chuckled.
Yeah. So basically, Blanche is upset, obviously. The ladies talk about who's guilty. Dorothy can't help but think that maybe Blanche is guilty. She's trying to figure everything out. We fade to an establishing shot outside the building, showing that it's morning now, so the night has passed. I don't know. If I was accused of murder like Blanche, I don't think I'd be able to sleep, but whatever.
The people are pretty... pretty okay with it. They,
yeah.
I mean, if she's really thinking this murder has happened, she's not that worried.
Yeah, she's enough where it's like, hey, this guy's been murdered. You better go sleep in your room and we'll talk about this in the morning. Since when? And when?
Yeah, no, you know, this is an 80s sitcom and this is some of the things they had to do back then.
All right, so then we're back into the room where the murder mystery was, the big dining hall. Everyone who is at the murder mystery is there.
Yeah, and now these other guests have just been brought into it. But if I wake up that morning, yeah. I'm like, whoa, hold on. What went down? Why haven't I gotten to see any of these clues?
Exactly. I'm like, I paid for this murder mystery and no one told me about all these clues.
No.
Me and my husband were off doing our own thing. I'd be very upset. And then also, if you ever thought that this was true, everyone's sitting in a room and the police is just, the police officer, or the, sorry, the detective is explaining what happened with all the evidence. In what world would this happen?
And it was like they were going, I think there was at some point where they were like, we're going to have to investigate every person here.
In front of everybody.
Yeah, it was...
So we could all get our story correct. Even as the police asks, unless anyone else has anything to add or another idea. Like, if you're an audience member and you believe this garbage, you're an idiot. Yeah. But, like...
I don't think anyone did, I hope. But there's always idiots out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it hurts the episode.
No. I mean, this is just... simple sitcom dynamics that you've got to have in there because we're watching for the jokes and those relationships between the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
We're not there for the plot line.
Yeah. And again, we're season 7, so like murder mystery is just kind of like, all right, let's have some fun. Let's get them out of the house.
Prior to this, we've already dealt with the serious issues that an 80s sitcom tackles. You know, Rose has had her AIDS scare. Dorothy has had her gambling addiction.
Yeah.
But we're getting past that. They are, you know, it's season 7. They don't know. While they're great writers, what more can they do? They've tackled every issue.
Yeah, and you're just like, you know what? Let's keep this one light, you know?
Oh.
With a murder.
And were you a Saved by the Bell fan?
Not as big as I should have been. Everyone else really liked it. I didn't really like it growing up.
Okay, because there's a lot of... there's a lot of shows that do like a murder mystery weekend, and Saved by the Bell had an episode.
It's kind of like instead of doing a film noir, they just do a murder mystery. Yeah.
And that's, you know, when watching this, sometimes I always get annoyed by the film noir episodes of TV shows where they have the character where it's suddenly in black and white and they walk through it. I don't know. It turns me off. So I was glad they didn't go that route.
Yeah. So then Dorothy asks for a motive. Posley McGillin explains that the director only wanted to see Dorothy alone because he wanted to let her down easy and let her know that Posey got the job and not her. So Blanche is really going through a lot right here. She thinks her lover died. Well, did they make love? I don't know. We don't know at this point. And now... the job she wanted is going to another woman. Also, if that guy's dead and you're the assistant, does it even really matter?
And she's going to a women's prison, so...
there you go.
Things aren't going well.
The police explains everything like a fake detective like the fake detective does in the original thing. Dorothy then defends Blanche. Dorothy then explains how Posey is the killer because she was jealous that the director was going to sleep with Blanche. We get this great slow fade into a flashback with music. And right when we're getting into the story and we feel like, ooh, everything's going to happen, Sophia chimes in with this.
I think I see now how it happened. Last evening at dinner, when Miss McGlynn saw Blanche give Kendall Nesbitt her key, she was furious. She dropped a steak knife into her purse.
Big deal, I took a whole place in.
Not now,
Yes, and her delivery—I mean, her delivery of that line, "Not now, Ma," is
oh god.
That's what makes B. Arthur great. It's that frustration of this mother who is of this daughter who is just had enough of her mother, and she is that's what makes her the genius she is.
It's just like the perfect atmospheric joke. Anyway, we fade back into the flashback, and she explains that Blanche was in the shower, so they didn't have sex. The director answered the door, thinking it was champagne that they ordered. It's Posey. She stabs him in the chest because she's jealous. We fade back to the dining room, and Posey is upset at Dorothy because she figured it all out. Posey pulls out a fake gun. The detective grabs her arms. Shots are fired, and then as soon as that happens, ba-ba-da-da, the director walks down the stairs, and we found out that it's all a part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Yep. That was good, and then they give the whole explanation.
Yeah, we find out like everything that happened, and then we find out that Rose was in on the whole thing, and the reason why she didn't tell Blanche is because she was upset that she took her earrings. That's the only reason why that was at the beginning of the show.
And that's one of the only things where they went wrong in this episode.
That irked me.
We know that isn't an issue between these girls.
You could have found something else.
No. They've lived together for 7 years now.
Yeah.
Maybe even more.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus. All right. So the show ends on Blanche finding out that she's still in the running for the assistant job. And Sophia is not being able to pick up her purse because she stole so much silverware. Girls and stealing glasses and silverware. You know what I'm talking about? Do you do this?
No, I don't. I think there were a couple times... Maybe no. The reason why it's always girls or women, you know, that are stealing this is because they have the purses. Guys don't have a bag that they're carrying to steal like a glass at a bar.
I don't want to steal a glass at a bar.
No, but was there ever like a really cool glass when you were like 21 and you went to the bar and you were like, oh, that'd be pretty sweet.
Anytime and when I went, if it was like a boot or something, you always had to give your ID. And then you got your ID back when you returned the awesome glass. But most of the time, it's just a normal 20-ounce thing with a logo on it.
No, you're right. I think the only one I ever took, and actually, when I took it from the bar, so it was one of those Blue Moon glasses. So they were tall. They're like,
I know what you're talking about. They're like really thin glass.
Yeah, I thought those were cool, but I handed it to a girl, and I said, here, take this out of the bar.
God damn it.
Because I would not have been able to execute the plan.
Well, that was the end of the episode. What do you think? What are your feelings on this episode?
If I had to judge it, it would not be in my top 10. I do think it's a great episode. They're still going places with this show. You know, it's nearing its creative peak, but they still had some tricks up their sleeves at this point. And it's the last season. But this is early in that season. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I did like it a lot. Yourself?
I liked it a lot. I thought the jokes were real sharp. How'd you feel? Like, I feel like whenever I'm watching Golden Girls, it's really about these jokes. And I feel like that puts a lot, as somebody who does writing, I feel like it's very difficult to come up with these kind of jokes for every episode and not run out of these kind of jokes.
It is. And, you know, that's the thing, though. It is as you get into... If this were the first episode of the show and you saw this, while the jokes would still be funny, they wouldn't hit without that familiarity that we have with each of these whole Golden Girls. You know, this show had been going on for a length of time, so they could get away with things that you can't get away with in the first season.
No.
In terms of just how much an audience will take to specific jokes.
Yeah. And I feel like every plot to these kinds of episodes is just a vehicle for them to show off these awesome characters that they've like explored and developed and that we've fallen in love with.
Yeah.
If I was going to give it a rating, I would give it 7 heavy purses out of 10.
Oh, wow.
7 heavy purses.
That's a good rating.
What would you give it?
You know, I'd be right around there. Maybe 7.5 heavy purses.
7.5? Okay.
Yeah, just a little touch more. But Yeah, no, I think it was great.
Before we finish up, we do have some new messages from our Facebook page and from our email address.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
You said you had some that you wanted
to read? No, we did. We have, we'll just go with Kathy C's note. I'm not going to use anyone's last name. I know how touchy we got after a few weeks ago.
That was a mistake, you guys. It was an honest mistake. I went back and I edited it out.
And we
I'm going to edit that out.
Well, whose comment was I going to read? Oh, shoot. I can't even remember. You know what? We'll just go to Mike M.
Mike M.
Who is in Brentwood, Tennessee.
Hey, thanks, Tennessee, for listening to us.
He says, I think that The Golden Girls is the best show to ever hit the airwaves. Hmm. If I had my choice, I would watch Season 6, Episode 4, 3 times a day, every day.
Wow. Well, you can. I don't know what's stopping you from doing that.
Yeah. We can't say that myself and Bacon haven't done something similar with Season 5, Episode 2.
Well, oh, man. Well, you know, I'm just like, I got all the DVDs, I pop one in, and I like clean the house, you know, and I always have it on in the background. It always feels like I have somebody in the house when they're there.
Well, that's the thing, though. You try to clean the house, but you put that show on, and you start cleaning, and then you hear one of the jokes, and you go, and you just start watching, and there goes your whole day.
Yeah, and that's why my apartment is so dirty and messy.
Yeah, and one day, you know, you're gonna clean this up, you know, the pizza boxes will get to the trash can.
They'll make their way. The ants will take them there.
Yeah.
We got an email from Sophia C. I don't know if that's her real name.
She couldn't have gone with Sophia P. And just, you know.
I don't know if she messed up. She says, hey, guys, really love your podcast. If you were a Golden Girl, which Golden Girl would you be? Oh, great question. Oh,
Sophia P., I love this question. I get asked it all the time. And I don't give that information out lightly. I love all of them.
Oh, make me pick one? That's like asking... It's like Sophie's Choice. It's Sophia's Choice. It's
Sophia's Choice.
Oh, there's a dog outside my apartment.
Well, they heard you making this Sophia's Choice, and they got mad. You know, as a child, I loved Rose. As a young man in my 20s, I really loved Blanche. But these days, I've certainly become a Dorothy Spornak, B. Arthur fan. There's something about her comedic timing, the way she's the one who held together the show. She's not the character that you're like, oh, I'd want to be her best friend.
Mm-mm.
But she is the one that makes the show happen. Without her, where would they live?
No, without, like, she, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say the exact same answer. Dorothy is the unsung hero, probably my least favorite character up until I feel like as soon as you like Dorothy, as soon as you understand Dorothy, it's like a lot like when you finally like Squidward in SpongeBob SquarePants. That's when you're like, I'm thinking like an adult.
Yeah.
And because once you're with her and she's around all those people and she's still able to be funny and she doesn't have like the kind of tropes that everybody else has, you really like her and respect her.
Yeah, and if you don't believe me and if you don't believe Bacon, here is my advice to you:
kill yourself.
Well, we don't want to get in trouble again.
Okay, don't. Okay, because that was one time, and I don't feel responsible.
We know what happened to Missy, and.
Let's not talk about that. Okay. Let's not talk about that. What were you saying? Sorry.
You know, if you don't believe us that, you know, B. Arthur is this key to the show, then my recommendation to you is to go find a little show called The Golden Palace. I believe it premiered in either 92, right after Golden Girls ended. And it features the same characters played by, you know, Rue McClanahan, Betty White, and Estelle Getty. But it's them. They're running a hotel of some sort. But they don't have one person there. And that is Dorothy Spornak. And the show did not take off. People thought it would be, you know, big show that season. She held the glue together on that show. Mm-hmm. And once she wasn't there, there was something missing. The cast even resonates. You know, I've read every article featuring Betty White or any of the girls. And Betty says, you know, they weren't, her and B were not good friends, but, you know, they were as coworkers, as colleagues, as people that, you know, performed together, they very much had a great dynamic. And when B wasn't there, it was not the same.
Yeah. You know what? I couldn't put it any better. That's the best way to end the episode.
All right.
Brian, thank you so much, you guys, for tuning in.
Yeah, we are sure you'll be back next week.
For Season 7, Episode 3.
This is the Golden Boys, and we just want to thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. And if you threw a party, you invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift would be from me, and the card attached would say thank you for being a friend.
That is this week's episode of Try This Podcast. If you like this episode and you want more, you can listen to or download all our episodes online at trythispodcast.com, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. I see our subscription base has been growing, so, and I think that's thanks to some of the reviews that some of you guys have left. So if you've left a review, thank you so much. I know I bug you at the end of every episode about this. If you want to contact us, you can email us at trythispodcast@gmail.com or write something on our Facebook wall. You can find us there. That's it. Make sure you listen to us next week. We'll have a whole new theme, style, and or topic. I'm Robert Bacon. Keep trying.
We went and tried this and saw what transpired. This particular podcast filled our desires. We had a lot of fun and it was full of wit. Robert Bacon was our host and he's full of shit. We went and tried this. Now that it's done, it's been done, but never was before we did it ever. Podcast.
You're drunk.
Try This Podcast is not endorsed by Whit Thomas Harris Productions, Touchstone Television, or NBC, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The Golden Girls, the Golden Girls music, and all the names of the Golden Girls characters are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respected trademark or copyright holders. The song Thank You for Being a Friend, the Golden Girls theme, in the style of Andrew Gold, karaoke version, is owned by Amritz Audio Karaoke.